This is Colleen with Speaking of Spirits, and I'm here with Kate, Gina, and Susie. And we are going to talk about one of the investigations we just did. It was a couple of weeks ago. 3 weeks ago now? Two or three. I lose track of all time, I swear.
Mid-January, like I think the 20th, 21st, something like that.
Yeah. So we went to Old Town to First Street, and we did Annie Hall's Vintage Boutique. And if you have never been there, you need to go, especially if your lady likes dresses, because they have two floors of dresses. They have one entire floor of wedding dresses. They have a second floor of vintage dresses and party dresses. And they actually have some men's vintage clothes, too. Just really cool stuff. One floor is antiques.
Yeah, there was china and knickknacks and hats and shoes and just
everything
you could ever imagine.
Yeah.
It was like art. The antique stores times six.
Right. Yeah. It's where Real Deals used to be, I think. I think that's where Real Deals used to be. And so
it's the same area.
Yeah. So it is just and maybe I'm wrong on that, but it's a really cool place. And First Street, it's on First Street in Pocatello. And First Street, it's kind of across the street and down just a little ways from Portland Valley Brewery that we've done an investigation on. And we did a couple other buildings right there. So it's just, First Street is crazy. There's always activity going on there. And so we had a lot of people. We had way too many people on this investigation. But we're going back several times, and we're going to break off into some small teams and do some work at night, because this is the kind of building that we can do experiments on and try different things out, and have like three people, part of our team, just break off, like three people go in one night, and then a month later, another three people or four people go in and see what we can get, and then start comparing all of these things. So let's work from our top down. So the top floor is the wedding?
No,
that it was the toys.
Yeah, the dolls. I got set on that floor.
The bear. The bear on wheels.
The bear. So then that's the party dresses, too. Because the toys were in the very...
back corner. Back right.
East side of the building, right?
Yeah.
So there's the windows that look out towards the railroad tracks.
Right.
And so there was the bear dog.
Because
we couldn't.
Yeah.
And I went back like the following weekend, and I went in there and I'm looking around and I'm videotaping and taking pictures and doing stuff. And I look at this thing on wheels and it's like, is it a bear? Is it a dog? I can't figure it out.
I think everyone did that, because my team, when we were up there, we had the same debate of what this thing was.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting that actually every group that went there was automatically drawn to it.
To it. Mm-hmm. Yes. And so it's on wheels, but one of the wheels is missing. And apparently the bear dog gets moved around the store randomly. And so when I asked Riley later, the young lady who owns the store, I think with her family, how often does bear dog get moved around? And she said probably 3 or 4 times a year. So it's not constant. So if we put a camera up there, it's not like we're going to see bear dog move. You wouldn't know when. You'd have to have a camera up there every single night to see when bear dog gets moved around. But he's definitely the toy that everybody was drawn to.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like dolls, and there were a lot of dolls.
Yes.
It was creepy.
I have a huge collection. You should all come see it.
Yeah, really don't want to see it.
Including clowns that do this when you wind them up.
No.
I lived through 2016. I don't need to again. the clown craze.
Yeah, the clown. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, so... Then we had, on one of the floors, we had the jewelry cases.
Mm-hmm. I think that was third, with the wedding dresses were further down. The jewelry and stuff was toward the front.
Okay. Uh-huh. Yeah. And so what's interesting is we thought we had a bunch of equipment. There is one case that has fluorescent lights.
Oh.
Like it could be plugged in, but it wasn't plugged in. And our equipment was going nuts. So we brought the same equipment in, Lynn and I did, the following weekend. We set it on that case, nothing.
Hmm.
So, we assumed that because there was a ballast in there, for the fluorescent light, that maybe there was some residual energy. Like, or maybe they had just
the vibration that was minute.
Something, yeah. Right? That, so it didn't go off the following weekend, but it did that night. And we just assumed, so we moved all of the sensors over to the other case that didn't have any electric components to it. And we still were getting a bunch of activity there. And we don't know, was it associated with the metals? Because they had some male metals in there. They had some lieutenant colonel and colonel clusters. So they had some different stuff from different uniforms, components in there. So I don't know. Was it a jewelry? Was it, I don't know where it was coming
from. I wonder if maybe an item that maybe was setting it off had got sold in between the two times you went.
Oh, well, that could be. There was also customers in there, so we were trying to be really discreet. We didn't want to, because they were trying on dresses, and it looked like it was a bunch of ladies having a really good time. It looked like they were getting a young lady a dress for some kind of dance or something. So we were trying to be super discreet.
Take this haunted item.
Yeah, take this haunted thing home. Would you like this necklace?
Would you like the choker?
So we were being discreet. We had our paranormal stuff out, but we didn't let anybody see it. We didn't want anybody to know. They just thought we were taking pictures of dresses. They didn't know. So we sat for quite a long time on the couches upstairs to see if anything would come through. I did use an app on my phone that brings words, but I don't have a lot of faith in it. It's like a spirit box, but I don't have a lot of faith in it. And it was so random. Like, so some of the words that it was coming up with was, and I'll read them to you because I'm like, what is, it's, there's a dictionary and you can hold it in your dictionary. So, program, Frank, house, compose, tube. So those were the first ones we were getting. And I thought, okay, was somebody a composer or was he a musician? Did he play tuba? Did he, you know what I mean? So, but then it started going down. Cody, clock, sin, reason, vowel, merit, even, ice, criticism, supposedly, fish bar, above you, northern, and trip. And I went, okay, none of this resonates with me at all about any of the information we got the night of the investigation. So, okay. What are your thoughts on the building?
One of the most, I don't know, it was kind of cool when we were by the China and Kyle was speaking Spanish and we were getting responses. I thought that was really cool because we had just talked about manifesting. We had just talked about, do ghosts all speak English? Because even when you watch shows and they do it in another country, the ghost comes through in English on the EVPs and different things like that. Well, he was speaking Spanish. Yes, it was pretty rudimentary, very basic, but we were getting responses
on the equipment,
yeah. Lighting up and going off with That's different great. Questions.
I forgot about-
yeah.
And so he's going to go back through his evidence and see if we got any EVPs in Spanish. So, it was pretty interesting. We did make contact down in the basement with lady. And there's a very dark history with her. And so you never know. I mean, is this stuff true or not? Right? Right? Like, is the information you're getting, is it accurate?
Yeah.
Could it be another young lady that came in from another building? You just never know. And her story was very, very tragic. And when you deal with cases like that, and especially a young lady who was, I guess, 13, and said that she had been killed in the tunnels in Pocatello, and that she had thrown into the river. I think she said they didn't find her body. And so that was before the dam, right? Mm-hmm. So she would have just made her way down to the Pacific Ocean. Because this would have been the time before dams were built.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I grew up in American Falls and the whole town was moved when they put the dam in. But I can't remember the year it was.
Yeah.
But it was historical. It was one of the first towns in the country that was actually moved. Relocated right. So that the river could be dammed up into a reservoir.
Yeah. So I don't know. from our conversation with her, it sounded like it was the late 1800s when she died. Now, I don't...
Well, I would say that American Falls was 1800s, early 1900s. Yeah.
So,
but I don't... I like I said, I can't put my finger on it yet. I'm going to say the 20s, but I could be totally wrong. So it have been damn... the late 1800s.
Well, let's look.
There we go.
Let's see. What are we...
When was the city of American Falls moved to create the reservoir?
Well, I can't type with these new nails. Okay. When was the city of American Falls dammed to make the reservoir?
That sounds ominous.
It does.
1925.
Yeah, I thought it was the 20s.
Yeah, so this she would have then made her way down
to
the...
Who knows?
Probably the Pacific Ocean, had nobody found her body. And it sounded like... She made it sound like she was never found. But I don't know if how long your spirit can stay with a body that's in... You know what I mean? Like,
Well, her body is obviously there unless she was not thrown into the river.
Right.
But the other thing is, even after the dam, my parents ran the marina in American Falls, and many people that disappeared on that reservoir have never been found.
Mm-hmm. They just made their way over the spillway.
Yeah, over the spillway, or the bones got caught up into something.
They get caught up.
Because the riverbed that goes through the middle of the reservoir, it's pretty deep in those places.
It's very deep. I've been out on right below the dam fishing for
sturgeon.
Thank you. I'm like long fish. It's a catch and release sturgeon river only, but it's I think there's only one river in the United States you can legally take a sturgeon. That's out in Oregon. It is insanely deep
through there.
Well, that water is coming over the spillway in a very narrow channel. It's just carving that deep.
Yeah.
So that's why the sturgeon hang out in there, you know. But, so I didn't get negativity in there.
No, I didn't get anything.
That building feels light to me. So even though this tragic thing happened, and the reason why we ended up making contact with her is because the young boy who's associated with Bear Dog wouldn't come through really and talk to us. But she apparently is protecting him, or they're with him. Children, they're hard to really peg sometimes what's going on with these little guys. But, and he's younger. He was like, what, 8?
I think she said.
Yeah, he was little. And so she was there with him in spirit, right? So, but somebody said there was a grumpy old guy in there. I didn't feel that at all. I think Andy said he was associated with a wheelchair.
Yeah.
I was going to say the wheelchair area felt really like I could feel a lot of energy there. Yeah. And that was probably the only place in the building.
And to me, me too. That was the only place I felt heavy. And the only reason it felt heavy to me was the wheelchairs, not the building.
Mm-hmm.
It was because this is something we had to use when we're going through something in life that's hard, difficult, physical, mental, and emotional. So it's going to have a lot of that.
I find kind it of very odd that a lot of haunted places have wheelchairs that should not normally.
Yeah, why do they do that?
There's like where we did the Samhain at the 13 Locks upstairs is a wheelchair.
It's part of the checklist.
You got to be in the club.
And you got to have dolls.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and you know, the thing, so I guess Andy was communicating with this spirit energy, and he said, would you feel more at ease if the wheelchair was donated to a veteran? And he said, yes. So he told Riley, make sure that this wheelchair gets donated to somebody who can use it, a veteran, preferably.
A couple of them.
Yeah. So.
So when I was in there, I was drawn over to the side with the jewelry cases, okay? Mm-hmm. So that's in that, the jewelry, then there's the wedding dresses in the very back. Well, that side, I went over with Emily.
The west side.
Yeah, I don't know if I was recording at that time, but I just walked over there and I said, you know, this feels like a happy place to hear. I feel Annie here. And then she teared up and she said, this is exactly where she would bring her kids and bring me when I was little. And we would have dress up parties. She would have us dress up and stand on the little box in front of the mirrors and model the clothes.
Well, that store's only not been there that long, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, but she said that's the same configuration they used in the other one. Yeah, she said it was the same little stand and mirrors that they used to play.
Annie, if anybody has ever met Annie, had you met Annie? Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was a medium and very strong medium and very wonderful lady. I liked her a lot.
And that was really interesting because I did take a nap, I think I told you, prior to going. And I showed up at this house. It was like a Southern style house with a big wraparound covered porch. And there was this lady in a really frilly kind of floral dress that showed up and was talking to me, very animated, was happy to see me and talk to me about the investigation we were going on. I don't remember everything she said, but she had a big old floppy hat on and some flowers. Never seen this lady before in my life, but when we got together, I said, "What did she look like?" She goes, "Oh, she used to wear this." And I said, "She liked hats a lot. Was she Southern?" She says, "Yeah, she was originally Southern." And so who knows?
Right.
I might have actually tapped into her at her visit because she knew we were
coming. Well, you do that a lot before investigation.
I'm sorry.
No, I love it. I don't have that ability. I think it's really cool. And maybe I would have that ability if I would, but I'm always so busy. I never have time to.
Well, sit. And your intention. She does it on purpose. She's sometimes trying to, well, into it. Yeah. Also, difference between about this. So don't, when I'm sleeping. Mm-hmm. You
know, yeah. I'm like the for reals.
I'm always on the run. So it's hard for me to find 5 minutes to. Yeah.
I've seen you stopped in your tracks before though.
Really?
Yeah. People talk to you. You get a sense of something.
Yeah.
And you just quit running. And then there they are. She's very talented. Don't let her. No. She's not.
No.
My fun thing was I tried to get out. I had to leave early. Right. And the deadbolt broke on the investigation.
Oh, that's why I'm running around.
That was awesome.
Yeah. Well, we worked on it for like 30 minutes trying to like find any tool because of course their tools were outside. We were all locked in. And so,
wait a minute, when I walked away, you were still there working on it?
Yeah.
I thought they came and got you right out.
No. So I was like, we were there with like pliers and trying to find any tool that we could find. I was like, of course, on my first investigation, I'm going to break the door, basically.
They don't want you to leave.
They must not have. Didn't want
any of us to. Yes.
That's a true lockdown.
It was a true lockdown. I started panicking. I felt like a rabid dog. I was like, "Get me!"
Well, you're so sensitive. I had no idea where it was upstairs at that point. So
you should have gone. Yes,
because so we were locked in. We asked them to lock the building because it's kind of a sketchy area. So we're like, make sure that we're locked in.
Well, we also announced it too, so you don't want anyone just showing
strolling
up.
Like,
hey, we
investigation. Yeah.
So we're trying to hide.
When we went to. And I've been in and out of that door like 100 times to get to the trailer. And we just click. It was a turn deadbolt, like every deadbolt. And we just walk in and out. And as soon as we went to let you out, it's like,
it wouldn't work.
It just stopped. I'm like, what is going on? And so I'm so sorry, Kate. I have no idea.
It's totally fine. It's so funny. I have to tell
you guys what happened to me almost immediately in the building. And I had to leave really early, so we shut down the investigation really early because I was paralyzed this month 7 years ago, neck down.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, it was February 16th, 7 years ago when I was paralyzed. And so when I walk, it feels like I'm wading through water, like it's just this push to keep my legs moving. But I'm determined to keep moving. But that building, the minute I walked inside, it felt like quicksand. Like every step was such a struggle for me that night. When I went back with Lynn the next weekend, nothing at all.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, those stairs were brutal.
Yeah.
They were not even. They were really narrow front to back. Well, they were high.
We took the elevator up because Lynn and because I had such a reaction the last time. I'm like, I don't want to do this again. But I didn't feel that, but something kept trying to trip me going down.
Well, that's not okay.
No. Like, I was constantly being tripped
up. I stumbled multiple, not on the stairs.
Yeah.
Just getting ready to go up the stairs or just getting off the stairs where I, like, totally right. became
it's
unbalanced.
It's almost a funhouse effect when yeah. you come on the landing. So, yeah. So, but the quicksand effect, because every step was such an effort for me, by the time 10 o'clock rolled around, I was wringing wet and ready to go. I was so tired that I think, so that was a Saturday night.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Sunday, I got up and I fed everybody and I went back to bed. I never do that. Ever, ever, ever. I was so exhausted from trying to keep my body in motion that night. And I remember on Monday when I was at work in the office, I was like, oh, wow, I feel so much lighter. Like I was moving, I was walking easier. Just that 2-day stretch, that building, I don't know what it was in there, but it felt like you shouldn't be here. And I was having to push through every step.
Well, my recorder.
Oh, yeah.
Behaved badly. So I have a, just like what you use, the mini right. audio recorders.
Right.
They normally have like 20 some hours.
Oh, yeah. They're huge.
So I could only get 2 hours freed up. And I'd asked you, can you help me to see what's going on? And you tried and tried and it beeped and it never would.
Who just hit my chair?
That was me. I apologize.
Okay. That would have been so.
I know. I said, I don't know what you're talking.
Yeah, I just bumped it.
Okay.
But I'd even had you try to delete to see if we could open up any more files. We couldn't.
No.
2 hours of recording. Unfortunately, I started while we were doing the tour because I didn't know it was only 2 hours. I knew it was a small amount. And so I had listened through a good, just over an hour. It ended up being like 2 hours. Minutes or something like that I was able to record on there. Got through like an hour or something, and it was mostly when we were all walking from room to room talking, mm-hmm, so right. there was a lot of noise. I didn't get anything. Sit it down, and like a day or two later, I go back to start it again. Suddenly, I have 20 free hours.
Yeah,
it deleted
like what?
Everything.
Yeah, that was weird.
So we definitely should go back
yes.
smaller.
Yeah.
Much smaller. So-
Yeah, we definitely, and we are invited to come back
awesome.
And keep working in the building. Mm-hmm.
I think it's a lot of the objects, too. It's yeah, not just
so
the building.
That's the thing about buildings, right? It's or like this, because it's a true antique store. And vintage clothes. Brides put a lot of memories into their gowns, right? Especially if it's a family heirloom. I burned yeah. mine when I got divorced, just saying. But anyway, but vintage gowns that are handed down through generations, there's a lot of love mm-hmm. in that stuff. I don't ever feel anything negative in there when I walk in the door. I feel just energy everywhere. So I think, yeah. Breaking it down into smaller groups.
Well, and now not bringing any other newer people in,
right.
but taking the ones that got to experience it that night
right.
and be like, okay, we're all going to sit in this room quietly
right.
for an hour.
Right.
We'll do a little bit of that time, 15, 20 minutes. We'll do question answer, but we'll just sit here.
Right.
Because there was a lot of interaction. There was a lot of talking about what do I do? And oh my gosh. And it lit up and I didn't get, you know, so there was, and the excitement of being there.
Yeah.
Herding cats.
Yeah. I just kept saying all night long, it's like herding cats is like herding cats, but that's okay. So we got the first blush in now, and then I've gone back once, and then we can start working with the owners to keep going back nights and try some different experiments, too. That's what I want to try.
That would be cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, we hope you like this story. This was our investigation a couple of weeks ago of Annie Hall's Vintage Boutique. Please go. Show them some love. It is a great space full of wonderful stuff. I think you'll enjoy it.
You've been listening to Speaking of Spirits, powered by Pocatello Paranormal Research in Pocatello, Idaho. Thank you for joining us today. We're glad you could be here. If you're enjoying the podcast, please do us a favor and go to whatever platform you are listening to the podcast on and give us a review. We prefer the 5-star reviews. This helps us know how we're doing, and it helps others to find the podcast. Thank you for joining us, and we hope to see you on our next podcast.